Good morning and welcome to Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country, 94.3 Western Licking County. Glad you could join us on this kind of dreary start to a Friday morning, Dave.
But at least it's warmer than they said it was.
That is exactly right.
I mean, it's not warm, but it's warmer.
Mm-hmm. Well, the freeze warning has finally come and gone, so you don't have to worry about that. Although I never really got down to that temperature.
No.
As you said, the cloud cover, Mr. Weatherman back here, kept it kind of nice for us. But cloudy
weather
skies,
guys get something wrong, that never happens.
Who would have guessed?
Never.
Mix of sun and clouds today, high near 56. If you're heading out to a football game tonight, I would suggest you bundle up. Partly cloudy skies and 30.
You're not going shorts?
I probably will not.
And sweatshirt?
No, because we're at Watkins Memorial tonight, and that's an older press because we're on the other side, not the newer one. Going to get a little chilly. And
okay.
I'm thinking about if I can find my heat cube, I'm taking it with me. So, you know, because us fat guys got to stay warm. That's
heat
all I
cube.
Know.
Heat cube, okay.
Hey, it works.
Can't just bring in a cup of coffee, do it old school.
No, I'll take
work out a deal
cube.
With a concession
no,
stand.
I mean,
hey,
not bring
every quarter, bring me up another one.
I'd be in the bathroom then all the time. I can't keep drinking coffee like that. These two here, our guests today, Michelle Hyman and Whitney Baffert with Adult Court Services. You know what they're thinking right now.
Why are we here and how quickly can we leave?
You know what? I forgot my notes. I'm going home.
Yes.
So, all right. We'll get into what's going on with Adult Court Services, but big plans this weekend? I mean, are you a football person? Will you get out to a game, Michelle, or just kind of taking it easy?
So we have a big Halloween party we're going to Saturday night.
Oh.
So that's my plan so far.
Costume party?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
What are you going as?
Uh-oh. Now, remember, this is a family show.
Right, exactly. There's been a couple thoughts that have been thrown around. Bobby Ricci and his wife. So we're going to do the NASCAR angle.
Nice.
And then maybe that's as far as we've gotten so far.
Okay.
It's been a busy week.
Okay. I can appreciate editing. Self-editing is a beautiful thing.
I'm good with that. Whitney, any plans for you this weekend? Are you just going to go watch her make a fool of herself at this?
I might choose.
Endless entertainment.
You know what? That's what you got to do sometimes. And especially in your line of business, I'm sure laughs are something you try to get as often as you can. Michelle, folks here, Adult Court Services, just kind of, I know there's a lot, but just a real quick synopsis of what you folks are doing in the community.
So we have quite a few programs going on. We have our day reporting program, which we're here to talk about. We also have a drug court, which is a specialized docket ran by Judge Branstall. And that's to help like our high risk and high needs people, put them in a special spot and monitor them carefully. We have just regular supervision, of just people coming in and maybe they need employment, maybe they need to look at some mental health and drug and alcohol. We have a mental health unit that specializes in high-risk mental health. We have a diversion program, our pretrial unit, which is looking at people that are coming in that haven't even been convicted yet. You know, what can we do to help you to be successful in the stage that you are in your life now? You know, whether convicted or not. So they actively look to try to put people in safe spaces. That could be a treatment for center. It could be maybe even a domestic violence shelter. So
how many are on your staff? Because, I mean, it would seem to me like you're going to need quite a few people to deal with these issues.
We could always use more. I have 13 active officers, I believe. And I've got two deputy directors. We have an administrator and a couple secretaries. But I've got 13 officers just working hard every day and do a phenomenal job.
When you say officers, people think like a police officer. They have the same kind of powers as a police officer? Maybe explain when they hear that.
So, yes and no. We're limited to what we can do as far as, I mean, the officers carry weapons. They have to follow rules just like regular law enforcement does. We're not going to go out and we're concentrated more on what we're allowed to do probation-wise. If they have to go out and be part of an arrest involving what law enforcement does, they're allowed to do that. But concentration really is on what we're going to do in reference to probationers.
Mm-hmm. All right, Whitney, what kind of talk a little bit about what you do for the department and, you know, how long have you been involved and what makes this so rewarding for you?
So I've been with the department for almost 12 years, and I've been the day reporting coordinator since October of 2022. So I run the day reporting program, which is a program where we literally help people connect the dots from point A to point Z. And they're there Monday through Friday from 8:45 to about 4:15 in the afternoon, and it's a 12 to 16 week program. So we focus on GED and adult diploma classes. That's really booming right now. We have drug and alcohol education, cognitive behavioral intervention, relationship skills classes, managing stress and anxiety, anger management. We have a connecting the dots curriculum where we really hit on the trauma that people, you know, endure, and then also the resilience of coming out of all of that and how to be better with it. Mm-hmm. Then we have some non-core curriculum that is still really fun, and it teaches folks a lot. We do art. We do art journaling, poetry. We have Celebrate Recovery AA and NA meetings in there just so that that way people can get introduced to the format of what meetings look like. And we have a lot of fun. It's full of responsibility and accountability, but we have a lot of fun in there, too, while we do it.
It seems just listening through the programs that you do, I mean, from an outside view, I feel like anger management might be one of those key ones. I mean, again, depending on situation, but that one feels like that one might touch more broadly everybody you deal with. Is that fair?
It is, I think, just because of emotional regulation and people, you know, coming out of addiction and dealing with mental illness, they don't have that emotional regulation piece. And so a lot of times it can come out in anger. And so we really hit on what is driving the anger. And the Woodlands provider that comes in to teach that class, he does a phenomenal job with our folks and has them filling out anger management logs. And it's not, you know, textbook, it's more of like a discussion. And so they really seem to get a lot out of that.
Mm-hmm. I would think, and frustration. I mean, Dave and I talk a lot about just driving, you know, just a frustration daily with driving. Some people process that and handle that differently. And then that's why you have road rage and things like that. But on your level, where you're dealing with it, I mean, I don't think the average person really understands that kind of anger and frustration.
Probably not. And I will say, I mean, if I'm being brutally honest, we make these folks jump through hoops. A lot of hoops, and they have barriers already, you know, employment, transportation, housing, child care, you name it. And that in itself brings a level of frustration and anger because this is like a full-time job for folks. It's Monday through Friday, right? And then we ask them to not work or work just a part-time job and then still have all of those barriers. But really, the reality of it is if they don't get the education and then get linked with treatment, then they're not going to be able to sustain and be able to do all of those quote unquote normal life things that they're supposed to do. And so really the education piece and getting linked with treatment with the local providers is huge. Mm-hmm. And so we do discuss their frustration with not being able to work. That comes up quite often. They can work while they're there. They can work part-time, evenings, weekends. And we have access to some funding where we can get people linked as long as they are going to treatment in the community. So there's, we get very creative with the things that we can help people with to help kind of bridge that gap in the meantime while they're in the program.
So does everybody get a chance to be a part of that day reporting program? How does that work? I mean, are folks, do you know, they say, hey, I think this person would be good or maybe not. How do they get involved?
So if they are involved with the criminal justice system through Common Pleas Court, even municipal court can utilize us. Officers who are writing the pre-sentence investigations, officers who are supervising them, our pretrial officers, they get very creative. If somebody is in violation of their terms of probation, then they get referred over. I've had attorneys refer over two-day reporting. I've had judicial release candidates where the judge says, hey, I want Whitney to go down and interview this person. Just because based on how they are presenting themselves at the time that they're ready, they're willing to keep an open mind and learn to do something different. If somebody has a closed mind, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to get them to buy in. But for the most part, as long as somebody is involved in the criminal justice system with Common Pleas Court or Municipal Court, we can certainly look at them as long as it's not like a mandatory prison case.
You know, Michelle, it's funny because we were talking beforehand that we know some folks who have had tough times but have been able to bounce back and get their lives moving in the right order. What do you say to folks who say, throw them away. We don't want to worry about them anymore. They won't help themselves. Why should we help them? I mean, it could take somebody 5-6 different times to go through a program, correct? I mean, you don't want to – I mean, I'm sure you see folks that you just kind of shake your head sometimes, but – you know, there are folks that do want to change. It just takes a while, correct?
Right. So most definitely. So, I mean, ultimately, our first responsibility is to protect the community. And, you know, we're not going to make any bones about that. We need to do what we have to do if they're putting people at risk or themselves. But the other part is, though, is you're taking oftentimes a population that doesn't have any coping skills. There's a lot of trauma involved. There's significant mental health. There's drug and alcohol. And if they're or they have a substance abuse severe or moderate severe diagnosis of drug and alcohol, they're stuck in their own head. And unless somebody comes in and intervenes and shows them we can need to try this, and maybe that way is not going to work, and we have to try a different way and see how that works. I mean, that's why you'll often hear people in recovery say that, you know, I went and took multiple attempts at a treatment agency before I got it right. So we know that. We just want to give them the opportunity to see you can actually function differently. Day reporting in particular is a trauma-informed care program. So that means that we look at, and really one of the reasons why it was designed, we look at everybody coming in there as we suspect you've had, and trauma can look at all sorts of different ways, something in your life. We're going to take that into consideration. We're going to address you as, you know, you've had something traumatic in your life, and we're just going to start doing what we often say, connecting the dots, and that's a lot of what this programming is based on, so that you understand maybe these past events that could have happened, childhood, teenage, drug life, whatever the situation may be, and we're still acting on these events and don't understand why. Mm-hmm. Because it's education with everything. We know we wouldn't be doing what we're doing if we didn't have education. I don't know how we expect people to make these dramatic changes that we're asking them to make without education. Mm-hmm. So that's too, a lot of the core of what we're doing and why we have that program.
Do you get the families involved? I mean, is it something where, you know, I mean, I'm sure the intake part of it, you're working with that individual, but do you then start to bring the families in involved in this as well to say, here's something you can do to help, I mean, or some issues?
We occasionally do, especially if I have family members who will reach out to me. I'm more than willing to always talk with family. One of the things that we've been brainstorming is how we can involve families more. One of the classes that I mentioned is relationship skills, and it's how to build not just intimate partner relationships that are healthy, but also rebuilding family relationships, relationships with children. You know, we do triple P parenting classes in there, so that way they can get the skills that they need so that they can have a healthy relationship with their children. So graduation is open for family members, friends, loved ones that come in and support. They get to witness graduation day, which is really, really cool because they get to see from start to finish and even before start, right? And so it's really neat to see how many people show up to support whenever somebody has completed the program, and what that means to the individual who is graduating, that they have that support. And so I always love it whenever family comes in for graduation, family, friends, sponsors. It's really neat. You know, at the overdose awareness event, I had a mom come up to me and she said, thank you so much. She said, the work that you're doing, I have my son back. And that's the reason right there why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. And those are the rewarding moments whenever you do see that light bulb moment of, oh, I want to do something different, right? You're moving, you know, through the phases and the stages of change, and people are actually in the action stage, and it's really cool to see.
Yeah. I can imagine. He'll laugh. I'm a glass half empty guy, and can be jaded. I mean, I'm sure with what you see on a daily basis, you can be jaded, but, you know, you hear these success stories, and it gets you back up and going the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to think that's what's great about what you do. It's not easy, but got to be great. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about an open house that's coming up for the day reporting. We'll give everybody the information on that. You're listening to Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7. Newark and Heath. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, 94 Buckeye Country, 107.7, Newark and Heath. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guests today are Michelle Hammond and Whitney Babbert with Adult Court Services. Glad you could join us on this Friday. Heading into the weekend, cloudy skies this morning. Could see some sunshine later today. High right around 54, 55, and then partly cloudy tonight, low near 30. And then Saturday looking to be a beautiful day. Sunny skies and a high near 57. Is that when you said your Halloween thing is Sunday or Saturday?
Saturday night.
Not looking too bad. I know I still would dress a little warm. I don't know what you're going to end up going as, but, you know, the car or Ricky Bobby. It's a great movie, though. I mean, I got no problem with that whatsoever. I'm trying to talk Whitney to go over there and take pictures for us and put them on our Facebook page because it'd be fun to see. Whitney, come back to you. We're talking about the adult court services, your day reporting. You guys have a big open house that's coming up. When, where, what do folks need to know?
We do. So this coming Wednesday, October 29th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., we decided to open up the doors so that way the community can learn more about what we're doing. I can't tell you how many times I've had participants in there and they come back from, you know, a local agency and they're like, I told them I was in day reporting and they didn't know what I was talking about. And so this is a way for us to really show the community what we do and what we ask folks to do day in and day out while they're in the program. So it is located at our Day Reporting Program Center, which is 104 East Main Street. We are in the rear of that building, just catty corner, well, kind of behind and diagonal from the Adult Court Services Department.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, October 29th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Yeah. And now how many different community organizations? You mentioned the Woodlands. I mean, how many community organizations do you work with on a daily basis to work and help folks?
A lot.
Yeah.
So we have the Woodlands, Ohio Means Jobs, Mental Health America. We have a professor who comes in and does our poetry. We have a gentleman who comes in. He runs a local art gallery. He provides our art. All of our AA, NA, and Celebrate Recovery folks that come in to do those programs specifically, they're all local in the community. And then we also refer out for outpatient counseling. So whether that is the Woodlands, LAP, Bethesda, BHP, I know I'm forgetting some, you know, occasionally we might have to link with inpatient treatment services if somebody's level of care needs to be increased. So we do, you know, look at Spencer House, Courage House, mm-hmm. The Lighthouse, Bethesda,
Shepherd Hill.
We utilize Shepherd Hill and Brightview for their MAT programs.
What is MAT?
Medicated assisted treatment.
Okay.
So the one that we really try to encourage is Vivitrol or Sublocade, which is the injectable medication. But we also have folks who have other forms of MAT, Suboxone or methadone even. So,
yeah,
I'm curious, the open house.
Mm-hmm.
If I've got maybe a young person or, you know, somebody's 20s or 30s in my life that might be going down the wrong road, would this be kind of a way to enlighten them into what their future might be, or maybe kind of a scared straight kind of vibe, or is it not that at all?
I don't know that we're going to present it as the scared straight type of vibe. We really try to keep more of a therapeutic environment in there. Yes, it's a jail diversion program, but the scared straight thing doesn't seem to work all that well. Speaking from personal experience with my stepson, I tried that, bringing him in for suspensions. It didn't work out so great.
Okay.
However, he's doing well now. They could come in just to see what we're doing. There's going to be a lot of community agencies there who are, you know, more than willing to answer questions. I'm always willing to help link people with services, regardless if they're on supervision or not. I think it's just a way to get information into the community, mm-hmm. more so than anything.
I was going to just say, and we've had a lot of, we've been at different events, and a lot of parents have come up to us and said, hey, you know, I'm having problems with my adult son or daughter, or they are in the system, and, you know, what are you doing with them? And I think it's important to explain that. And so I do encourage family members to ask questions. There's no point in not knowing or being frustrated when, you know, there could be a solution that no one's even aware of or we've looked at. Or, I mean, unfortunately, maybe, you know, jail or prison is just where we're at. Mm-hmm. But even that can be explained. So back to your question, Joel, if parents have questions, there's going to be a lot of information, and we work with a lot of really good agencies, and some of those representatives will be there.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got to think, when it comes to families, and they want to see, and you mentioned not to just put your stepson, and you want to get them the help. It's got to be hard on families, too. It's just like anything else. I mean, they've got to have somewhere where they can go and get that information and kind of just say, we've done everything we can. Somebody help me. Because we talked about this earlier. I don't know anybody wants to abandon a child. They want to do whatever you can to get to. I mean, I've had Trish Perry in here numerous times,
right,
talking about family members. It's not easy on those families, is it?
It's not. It's not at all. And that's why I'm always willing to think outside the box and really step out and talk with them, because it's not easy, and some of them have even struggled with addiction. And I've always said being an addict and loving an addict are two totally different things. And so really not knowing how to get someone the help, if the person wants help, there's resources out there, and I'm more than willing to help link them with those.
Mm-hmm.
The other really cool thing that we're going to do at the open house is there's going to be folks who are past participants who have graduated, talk and to share what the program meant for them, what they're doing, you know, what they continue to do. I have a current participant who I'm super, super proud of right now. He's setting the bar very high. talking about barriers, you know, just to see the motivation to want to change, you know, he's going to share how he's overcoming those barriers, even if that means coming and sitting in the parking lot all night long because he didn't have a way there the next day.
Hmm.
So just sharing what the program means for them and what they're learning day in and day out. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah. The four of us can sit here and talk all till our lips and our tongues fall out. But when it comes to the folks who've been through it, those are the people you want to put in front of somebody, correct? I mean, that's...
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, their stories are probably going to impact them more than the four of us sitting here. I mean, you're nodding, but you find that to be true?
Oh, most definitely. And it was just like we were discussing earlier when we were talking about the reentry. People that are housed out of our office, Stephanie and Mallory and Cassie Aller, they do a phenomenal job, but they do a phenomenal job reaching out to people that have been in the system. Those people want to reach back to them because they, too, have been in the system. So that makes the most sense when you can communicate with somebody that really understands where you're coming from. We have great knowledge. We may not understand the ins and outs of things as well as they do. So they're also a big part of the day reporting program. They help out with our drug court. They just do a really good job overall.
Mm-hmm. Well, and hope is super important internally, but success is important societally. So when you have both of those things married up, that's win-win.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You seeing good numbers of folks going through the programs? I mean, again, you don't have to have the exact numbers, but are you feeling like, yeah, this is making... You talked about the one gentleman. I mean, are you seeing more and more of those success stories?
We are. Right now, I have 17 active participants, and then gosh, I probably have 16 or 17 folks just in GED and adult diploma. And yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. The numbers that I've been tracking since October of 2022, I know some folks might not think that it's a huge number, but I'm averaging right around a 77% success rate, meaning that that's a successful completion where they were diverted from jail. And so we would definitely like to be a lot closer to 100, but the reality is sometimes we're just planting the seed.
Right.
And it might take, you know, 2, 3, 4 more times in treatment, but at least right now we're planting the seed and somebody else along the way can water it. And so when we look at that, a 77% success rate for us is actually really good in terms of what we're seeing.
I'll be quite honest. I was going to say 50-50. So for you to tell me 77%, that's pretty damn good if you ask me. I mean, I would have not been surprised if you'd have said under, I don't know about Joel, but I would have not been surprised if you'd have said under 50%.
Yeah.
So that is just fantastic.
And to see you both smiling about it.
Absolutely.
Because, the culture in your office has to be pretty spectacular given what your subject matter is. I mean, you know, Dave and I wake up every morning and, you know, we're kind of in the entertainment business, so it's kind of easy to smile. When you're dealing with the seamy underbelly of the community, I give you a lot of credit.
It's those success stories that keep me smiling. And, you know, just like Michelle has talked about the reentry case management, you know, those three ladies are a prime example of why I continue to do what I do. And it's those successes. Like I said earlier, I've been here for almost 12 years and I have people who I supervised 11, 12 years ago, you know, that still come back and let me know that they're doing well. It's really cool to see people continue with the success and to continue to better their lives.
Open house again, when, where? Folks need to know all those good things. When's it going to be taking place?
October 29th, which is next Wednesday, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., 104 East Main Street in the rear of the building. There is a sign on the door that says Licking County Day Reporting Program.
Yep. Come out and learn about what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. God bless you. I mean, really, that is a job that I don't know that I could do, and I'm sure it takes special people to do it, and you're not looking at one of that group of special people. So
you're special in different ways.
Different ways. I will give you that. I want a report on the Halloween party, young lady. I want to know, and you get over there. Take pictures.
I told you I might go dressed up as the race car. I don't know.
That should be a lot of fun.
Definitely going to be entertaining.
Yep, so enjoy your weekends again. Michelle Hammond and Whitney Babbert with Adult Court Services. So happy to have them in talking about the great things that they are doing in our community. Speaking of great things in our community, be sure to join us Monday. Jacob Palmer from the Boys and Girls Club of Newark will be our guest on Talk of the Town again. Jacob Palmer, Boys and Girls Club of Newark on Mondays, Talk of the Town.